You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Romillo, credentialed reporter, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your next order. The Miami Heat are advancing to the NBA Finals following a 125-113 Game 6 victory over the Boston Celtics. They've done it. They've moved on to the NBA Finals, where they'll eventually face the Los Angeles Lakers. But right now, the focus is all about the Miami Heat. They made it to the NBA Finals. This incredible season just has refused to end. So much has gone on this past year between everything that's happened outside of the basketball world. But with this team, to put together this group, to add Jimmy Butler, to trade away Hassan Whiteside, to go through some dysfunction earlier on the season between Justice Winslow's injury and Dion Waiters getting suspended, the promotion of Kendrick Nunn, so many other factors throughout the course of the season, this improbable run where they started off being such a great team, eventually finding holes in their game, not continuing to sustain the winning levels that we had expected from them earlier in the season as they kind of limped towards the hiatus that began in mid-March, to take the last few months off, to enter the Orlando bubble without any expectations, without anybody thinking that they had a chance to be able to defeat the Indiana Pacers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and now the Boston Celtics on the way to the NBA Finals. What a fantastic run. This is probably one of the best seasons in franchise history. I know there'll be people who will always define their happiness about a season by a championship. And while that's still the goal and still very much a possibility, despite what Las Vegas, ESPN, and everybody on Twitter will say, the Miami Heat have a very good chance of winning an NBA title. But moreover, it's about the way that they've been able to play this season. For them to be able to persevere, to stay together, to see so many players step up over the course of the season, to accept changes. Look, it starts with Jimmy Butler. You add him to this team, and he's got this reputation of being a locker room cancer, of being a guy who just doesn't want to work well with others, of criticizing guys, of tearing other players down, of taking a young player and breaking their fragile psyche and shattering them, and not letting them grow and develop the way they should because he's an egomaniac, because he's a bastard, because he's a piece of shit human being. And somehow he fits into this culture perfectly, where immediately, even as he's criticized for 3 a.m. workouts, the players on his team respond to it. From Myers Leonard to a 19-year-old rookie out of Kentucky that slipped in the draft because his arms are too short, because he's white, because he's not quote-unquote athletic or can't move very well. And somehow he winds up saying, you know what, I'm going to put in the work. And he gravitates towards that culture. He gravitates towards the personality, the magnetic personality of Jimmy Butler. And they start to grow. And then you trade away certain players and you allow others on this roster, including one Bam Adebayo, to grow, to develop, to blossom into a potential superstar. If not a superstar already, following his Game 6 performance, which was something that I'll talk about later on in the show. But for now, you just want to talk about what happened to start the season. Again, no expectations. Will they be a playoff team? Many people thought they'd be a lower level playoff team. Maybe somewhere competing through that 5-8 seed. Sure enough, they did wind up with the 5th seed after so much turbulence in the world around them. For a season to restart, for everything to have to work in the Orlando bubble the way it did, they did find themselves with a 5th seed, but that wasn't who they were. They're not a team that was concerned about seeding because there was no home court advantage. As long as they do what they do well, it doesn't matter whether they were playing at home or away or anything else. That's my belief, and it certainly pays off in the Orlando bubble where everybody has the same factors going against them. But for Jimmy to define his team, to immediately set the tone for this culture, to work alongside veterans like Udonis Haslem, to get the most out of guys like Myers Leonard, who didn't even play in the Orlando bubble or has barely played, But again, willing to do the work. Everybody on this team with a chip on their shoulder, whether it's because they were a late first round draft pick, because they slipped in the lottery, because they weren't drafted at all. Everybody has been discounted and ignored and left for dead as far as their careers are concerned. And somehow they've been perfect on this team. They've worked together. They've believed in each other. They've continued to support one another when they are taken out of the starting lineup, when they're put into weird situations, when they're thrust back into it. Goran Dragic. I cannot say enough about Goran Dragic, who has been through so much during his tenure here. The second longest tenured player aside from Udonis Haslem, of course, but Goran, who has gone through so many iterations of this team to watch this team from a potential title winner behind Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and with Goran expected to be the third superstar, but then to see Chris go through a life-threatening illness, to go see Dwayne Wade depart for Chicago, which of course planted the seeds for this fantastic season with the addition of Jimmy Butler. But so much had happened, 41-41, to play alongside Deion Waiters, to be elected an all-star and discredited as a player, to be viewed around the league as a cheap shot artist, a guy who doesn't really have a high ceiling, a guy who can't do much other than throw elbows and of course the patented iron shoulder. And for him to be an unsung superstar of the playoffs after everything, force of the bench or accepting of a bench role, and they come off that bench year day in and day out this season and just continue to thrive, to play at a high level, to provide leadership on this team. I think it was really such a selfless act in his part, and everybody just saw that. Guys like Leonard, Duncan Robinson, and others have continued to mention that Goran's quote-unquote sacrifice was just a real tone setter for them, and you really see it. And then to be able to go back into the starting lineup for the Orlando bubble and to play at such a high level, for Kendrick to go be forced onto the bench after starting all season long, not even getting a playing time, a role whatsoever, Myers forced to the bench, and of course, Bam Adebayo, the superstar that does all the little things, that is willing to put in all the effort necessary to get that extra rebound, to make that right play, to dive to the floor whenever necessary. For him to have the kind of game six he did, to seal it for Miami, unbelievable. And of course, there's Eric Spoelstra, who is the coach that only won because of LeBron James or Dwayne Wade or whatever BS excuse you want to come up with. But this was the guy who made the right decisions at every opportunity during this postseason, where he found the right combination of players, where he went to the right guys at the right time, where he was able to keep everybody focused and engaged and believing in themselves when nobody else did. This head coach of ours, Eric Spoelstra, has done such a phenomenal job of leading this group of men. You can criticize Spo for a lot of other things, but his performance, his actions this postseason have been incredible. He is, without a doubt, a Hall of Fame coach, if not one of the best coaches in NBA history, and certainly one of the best coaches actively in the NBA. But that's a whole other conversation. Every player on this team, every member of this coaching staff had something to prove. To go through the difficulties of being in the freaking Orlando bubble for the past 3 months, to be able to persevere, to be away from their families, because as Jimmy Butler likes to say, this is a business trip. And business isn't done yet until they come back with a championship to the America Airlines Arena. What a fantastic season. I'm so glad to have been able to cover it for all of you, to be a part of this in my own small way, and to be able to watch this, talk about it, talk to these players, and to see the camaraderie, the chemistry building there. It's been such a joy to watch, such a great season, one of my favorite for so many different reasons. And I'm just so glad that they're able to be able to advance to the NBA Finals. I'll talk about that matchup, but I'll talk about Game 6 and the Boston Celtics and the continuation of their season. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Even though we're here in Florida, where restaurants have opened up, you can continue to safely support restaurants in your community if you don't feel comfortable going out. And there are thousands of restaurants that are open for delivery, and you can use DoorDash, because those restaurants do need your patronage now more than ever. You can support your favorite restaurants on DoorDash because ordering is so easy. Many of your favorite restaurants are again open for delivery on DoorDash. Just open the app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with DoorDash's new contactless delivery drop-off setting. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more if you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. It's the app that brings you the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Subscribe to the show on your favorite app to listen to podcasts and always get the latest episode by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat when you get in your car to get your team every day. I don't even know where to begin, I'll be honest with you. This is not following the same format of my normal recaps. I'm completely discombobulated, and that's perfectly okay because I don't think anybody really gives a damn at this point. It's just the sheer joy of being able to cover this team, to see them go through all this. Look, there were some really, really white-knuckling moments there during this Eastern Conference Finals. Because I'll have to be completely honest, as much as I hate to say it, the Boston Celtics are a damn good team. They have Jason Tatum there. They got Jaylen Brown, who seemed to hit just the biggest shots all freaking series long from that corner that seemed to be continuously wide open for him. And you've got pestering bastards like Marcus Smart and Kemba Walker who flop or hit the right shot at the right time. This just as easily could have gone the other way. The series was very, very, very close. And the fact that Miami won by 12, I think the final point total, if I'm thinking correctly, it was even before Game 5. They won by 13. Miami won by 12 on Game 6. So a one-point differential in the series, which Boston actually led somehow, despite being down 4-2. So an incredibly tight series, obviously, really, really competitive. And what it came down to, just as it has all season long, all series long, executing at just the right moments. And for the Heat, it was in the second half where they really turned things up. They played very well in the first half. They had a nice lead. And then somehow, well, not somehow, because of some really impressive work, the Celtics were able to chip away at that. They got the right bucket at the right time. They got a foul call. They were able to exploit scenes in the defense. It was evened up after three, and then Miami just exploded in that fourth quarter. They were just so dominant. They were able to really just turn it up a notch. They got some great performances from guys that you would not have expected. Andre Iguodala played 28 minutes off the bench, went 5-5 from the floor, a dunk, and 4 made 3-pointers, 4-4 from three-point range. Unbelievable. A team high plus 20. Sorry, second to Duncan Robinson, finished with a team high plus 24. But either way, an incredible performance from him. On a night when you didn't know who was going to step up and hit big shots for Miami, Andre Iguodala did. Tyler Hero had some big shots in that fourth quarter when Boston was just creeping back in and would refuse to tie a quick step. And then Bam Adebayo. Unbelievable. You cannot say enough about Adebayo as a burgeoning superstar because his performance in Game 6 was so impressive. After he took such a bad... He took the loss in Game 5 so personally, telling reporters after the game and telling his teammates that he was responsible, that he let them down, that it was his fault after Daniel Tice had, in all honesty, outplayed him in Game 5. And then he took it so personally, was so energetic. Finished with a plus minus plus zero, which tells you all you need to know about that statistic. But a huge game, 32 points, 11 of 15 made field goals, 10 of 11 from the line, drawing contact, knocking down his shots. This is a center, ladies and gentlemen, who's going 10 of 11 at the line. You talk to me about Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert and everybody else. You give me Bam Adebayo, he's right up there with all those guys, if not as good or better. 14 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal. Always guarding 1 through 5, doing whatever was necessary, diving to the floor, jumping over, jumping through players, jumping around and through groups of opponents to get that deep rebound, to fight at every opportunity, to do what was necessary to get a key putback or make the right pass. An incredible performance for him. I thought there were moments here where Jimmy Butler was going to have a huge night. And in fact, he was a little bit perhaps more aggressive than he had been for most of the series. 8 of 19, unfortunately, and 0 for 3 from three-point range. But he did finish with 22 points, 8 assists. A quiet night, I think. A solid night where, again, he was aggressive. He looked like he was ready to turn it up a notch where we thought we might see a 30-something point performance, perhaps even a 40-point performance from Jimmy. That has not been the case. I don't know if this is by design. I'll be honest with you. I think there are times when he looks like he's injured. There are times when he looks like he's not fully engaged. or there are times where he's just not being particularly aggressive. But it's so amazing to see, like, you know, Jimmy can do these things. Like, there were moments there where he was calm, polished, got to the bucket as easily as ever, and was able to finish over any opponent, whether it was a smaller Kemba Walker or a bigger Jason Tatum. He was still somehow able to finish through traffic, through contact, and everything else. And yet there were just moments there where he seemed a little less engaged or just not quite as aggressive, and wound up having a pretty poor shooting night, less than 500. So it's not great, but at the same time, it's hard to argue with the results. I hope that he's saving it for the matchup against the Lakers in the finals, because if that's the case, that would be amazing. But still good enough to contribute 22 points, perhaps the quietest 22-point outing of his career here in Miami. Jay Crowder continued to struggle a little bit from the floor. 4 of 9 from the field, 1 of 5 from three-point range. Hit a shot, I think his third attempt, and I'm thinking, okay, here we go. He's going to start connecting on those. Missed his next two. The Spoelstra took him out of the game. He was not a factor there. They went with Andre Iguodala instead, who just seemed a little bit more active, a little bit more comfortable making his shots. Goran Dragic did not play some in that fourth quarter, if any, in that fourth quarter. I don't know exactly at what point he sat down, but he was not having a great game, 4 of 11 overall. But this is the strength of this team. I just talked about it on Lockdown NBA with Josh Lloyd, so you should definitely listen to that show, because I'll be talking about the Heat a lot over the next few days as they prepare for the NBA Finals. But this team is so good, and their strength has been so consistent in having this depth where you don't know who's going to step up at any given night. You hear Jimmy say this all the time. You never know who's going to step up. It could be Tyler. It could be Andre Iguodala. It could be Bam. It could be Jimmy. And that's great, because you often need them to step up in key situations. They wind up just finding a way to have a big performance from one player here and there, a couple solid performances from a couple other guys, and just enough work, just enough defense, just enough rebounding at the right time to be able to win the game. That's been their MO for most of the season. It's been their MO during the playoffs, and it's worked. I don't know. I don't know what to say, because you keep thinking that something Jimmy says this, and I keep referring to Jimmy because he is the cultural barometer for this team. As much as you want to say it might be Udonis Haslem, there's only so much you could do with Udonis when he's not playing the way he is. But this team has yet to play their best. There is still an opportunity for them to reach another level. If you can find it hard to believe all you want to, but you never know. Look, Jimmy could be somewhat less than aggressive. You could have Jay struggling. You could have Goran struggling from the field. You might have a bad Duncan game. If you have all those things working perfectly in harmony, this team is unstoppable. I don't care if it's the Lakers. I don't care if it's the Golden State Warriors from a few years ago. Miami plays at such a high level when everything is working perfectly. And you just, it's unbelievable. We still have not seen the best version of this team. They've done just enough to beat the Bucks, the Celtics, the Pacers. And they might just be able to do enough to beat the Lakers. It's not going to be an easy challenge. I'll be 100% honest with you. We'll be talking a lot about that over the next couple of days. I'll be talking to Anthony Irwin of Locked On Lakers. I'll be talking to some other media members from around the league, of course, as always. Get their opinions on what to expect in the NBA Finals, what to talk about the matchup. It's going to be really interesting. There's going to be a lot of narratives. I feel like I should probably not explore this topic on today's show because there was so much there. I mean, Miami, look, the recap itself, again, I lost sight about what was happening because the bigger picture is that Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals for the sixth time in franchise history. But for now, at least, we can talk about the bigger picture, the bigger narratives, because this has been so much fun to cover, and it's going to get, well, let's just say the national media probably will not be kind to the Miami Heat over the next couple of days. They will not be even in their coverage over the next couple of days. So it's going to be a little difficult, and I can totally understand. And that's why I'm hoping that you'll continue listening to Locked On NBA for, well, let's say a much more Heat-centric perspective on things. Perhaps not as biased, but certainly not focusing on Jason Tatum's son 25% of the time during the Eastern Conference Finals. Not to hate on Deuce, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to not having to see him on the screen anymore and to talk about Jason Tatum as a young family man, etc. There's going to be lots of other narratives that I'll get to over the next segment. But for now, you're listening to Locked On Heat. Look, you're going to have a busy couple of days as you prepare for the NBA Finals. So why not Get the best tasting protein bar ever because that's Built Bar. I've mentioned it before and I'll say it again. 18 amazing flavors, all of them so good. You'll love all the different combinations of flavors from caramel to apple, almond to raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, mint brownie, one of my wife's favorites. All of them are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, so they don't taste like a protein bar, and they're great for health conscious people, whether you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are great for you because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for all sorts of different diets. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. As a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskHelloHeat or also via direct message. The DMs are always open for my listeners. I feel like it was a microcosm of what we're going to see from ESPN coverage and national media coverage over the next few days. Eric Spoelstra, fresh off of accepting the Eastern Conference Finals trophy, asked by Rachel Nichols, who is a pretty even and fair-handed reporter, about what it's like to go up against LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Not the right time for it, Rachel. I think Rachel does a great job in general. I think she's also looking at the bigger story. Maybe that's fair. LeBron James and the Lakers are a huge story. Two superstars in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LeBron, former Heat player. A lot of tension there. I encourage you to listen to a recent podcast by Zach Lowe. It was the podcast with Chris Herring of 538.com. And prior to having Herring on the show, he went in a little bit about the Celtics-Heat series and whether or not NBA executives would prefer a Boston-Los Angeles matchup in the finals. They probably would. I think that there's a lot to go into there because of that history, because of the two storied franchises competing for a number of titles, etc. I don't know if that there's any more superstar talent in Boston than there is in Miami. I don't think Jason Tatum is as much a household name outside of the New England area than Jimmy Butler is, although maybe Jimmy's name isn't as popular in other places outside of South Florida right now, but that's a whole other story. But Lowe does a good job of breaking down some key narratives, some key stories that I'm sure are going to be exploited ad nauseum over the next couple of days. And one of those, of course, is the fact that LeBron James left Miami under some very shady, unusual circumstances and probably took a very active hand in screwing over free agency in 2014, knowing that he was trying to build a contender in Cleveland and that he was a little bit underhanded in doing so. Again, listen to that podcast. It's probably things that you know as a Heat fan already, but if you want to get it explained very clearly, I think Lowe does a very, again, even-keeled and good job of going into a lot of details that we probably haven't thought about in quite some time. The LeBron storyline is going to be huge over the next few days. Personally, I don't know that I'm not angry with this version of LeBron anymore. The Cleveland version, I think I was a little disappointed in because I think his, much like Riley, I didn't think he should leave Miami. I didn't think he was going right to leave Miami. I think he saw the writing on the wall regarding Dwayne's health. And Chris as a maybe not an ideal third complementary star didn't see the ability to retool around that big three. And maybe he thought to himself, well, you know what? I could go and have a better team elsewhere. I mean, it's hard to dispute that considering he won a championship in 2016 with the Cleveland Cavaliers, albeit after some, again, unusual circumstances led to that championship and some injury issues as well. But that's debate that with a Cavaliers fan in your life if you have one, because I don't really care to. I know that they got gifted a championship. It was, again, an injury that led to it, and it wound up leading to the acquisition of Kevin Durant from the Golden State Warriors and two straight championships for them as well, though. So that's a whole, again, subtopic. But for now, the Miami Heat are going up against the Los Angeles Lakers. It's going to be a very difficult matchup. There's going to be a lot of stories that are being talked about over the next couple of days, including LeBron, including how he left, including Pat Riley and his building of this team. It's going to be crazy. I never thought, look, you saw this into some degree over the last couple days, maybe even prior to that in the Milwaukee Bucks series. Against the Pacers, I don't think the Pacers have enough of a reputation nationally during those early playoff games that anybody really cared too much about the tension between Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren or anything like that. It wound up being a sweep anyway, so it didn't really matter. The coverage was pretty even. Against the Bucks, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Wound up being a two-time MVP following his series there and his injury and everything else. And I think that really, again, I think Miami's performance against the Bucks was so unexpected for national media that they didn't know how to adjust. It was like, whoa, all of a sudden, this Heat team's pretty good. How do we talk about this team? And I've mentioned this before. For national media types, it's so difficult to have a good grip on every team. You don't understand the nuances. You don't know about player X and why he might be playing. They're still talking about Kendrick Nunn not getting any playing time because he hasn't been 100% after his COVID diagnosis, and not about the fact that he doesn't play defense and hasn't been able to hit a shot. Not to knock Kendrick. Again, we're all love. We're all positive tonight. But the COVID isn't what has kept Kendrick Nunn out of the rotation. At the same time, now against the Celtics, you really started to see a lot of the coverage be skewed towards Boston and their success, from Deuce to Jason Tatum to Kemba Walker finally getting his chance to, I don't know. It just felt like a lot of it was about Boston. Maybe it's a nuance, or maybe I'm lacking nuance here. Maybe I'm just too Heat-centric. Maybe outside of this bubble of fandom and coverage and everything else, maybe you'll see a much more even perspective. But that's not what I saw. Everybody who includes Heat fans all seem to think that the coverage was skewed towards Boston's side of things. So I can only imagine that maybe you're not going to get much more a nuanced perspective than that one. But anyway, as far as the Lakers are concerned, I mean, look, it's LeBron James. It's Anthony Davis. They're huge superstars. LeBron is the most famous player on the planet. He is the most famous player in the league right now, and he's going up against his former team in Miami. It's going to be a hell of a series. The nuts and bolts of that coverage and how Miami presents a challenge to the Lakers, I'll have to go into over the next couple of days. For now, I just wanted to kind of get into the overall difficulty of that matchup and the coverage and how uneven it's probably going to be. You're probably going to get a very, very sick of it very quickly, but just shrug it off. You know, my wife over the last couple of days has been telling me to embrace a mantra. It's all going to pass. It's all temporary in response to the world that we're currently living in. And maybe that's a good one, because for now, while that coverage is going to be very, very leaning towards the Los Angeles side of things, and you're going to get a lot of Lakers fans continuously complain about foul calls or coverage and Kobe Bryant and all this other crap that comes with Lakers fandom, I think at the same time, you know, you as a Heat fan, you've been defined since 2010 for being us against the world. When the Big Three was formed and they were throwing batteries at LeBron in Cleveland, when they were calling him all sorts of terrible things, when they were using his face on urinal cakes in Cleveland bars and bathrooms, when he was hated by the Celtics, where they formed the Brooklyn Nets Big Three with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce there, when they were doing all sorts, when they were trashing this Heat team that it was bought, not built, as compared to the pure formation of the San Antonio Spurs. All the different things that happened to that during that Big Three era that made Heat fandom concrete, that brought us together as a fandom, as a group that believed in each other, that Heat Twitter is as strong and deadly as any fan base out there. I think you're going to start to see a lot of us united, presenting a strong front against what's going to go on around the national media. And so what? Right now, let them love the Lakers. Let them love everything else about LeBron and Anthony Davis and even Frank Vogel. And everything that happens with that Lakers team doesn't matter. Miami has grit. They've got toughness. They've got the willingness to do all the things that are necessary. Is Anthony Davis more talented than Bam Adebayo? Yes. But give me Bam Adebayo and his willingness to work harder than Anthony Davis every day of the week. And we'll see how they match up and they limit LeBron James. We've seen the best version of LeBron for 4 years in Miami. This is not that version, but it's still a pretty damn good one. But you have to figure that Eric Spoelstra, who's seen him more than any other current coach in the NBA, has a pretty good idea of what to do when it comes to stopping LeBron. I like our chances. I don't know if I believe it, but I've been pretty consistent about it against the Pacers, against the Bucks, and against the Celtics. Heat in six, goddammit, let's do it. Coming up later this week, as I mentioned before, I'll be recapping all the upcoming NBA Finals games. I'll be talking to national media from around the league. I'll be doing everything possible to give you all the coverage that you expect out of this podcast. I'm David Ramil signing off and thanking you, as always, for your support.